Blog Talk Radio.
Shabbat Shalom, Yisrael, family, listening audience. Welcome to another episode of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yara Al, Baltimore, Maryland. If you can hear me, you can let me know. Send me a thumbs up. If I'm too low, let me know. This is Feast of Booths. So we're in the midst of a feast day. And it's interesting because this is this particular feast day, I'm sitting in my tent by myself. Normally, when I have, blog talk during the feast, because you know, during the course of this day, I noticed that for the past few years, when it came time to do this teaching, during this feast, I was doing the teaching, during this feast. And in the past, you know, we've had op down and discuss and talk about this feast. And this particular year, you know, we had a little controversy as far as when the feast came in. And I'll probably be talking about that a little later on, you know, a little later on. But just paying attention to this particular feast and how when it's time for me to do this blog talk, you know, can it be that simple? I tend to be doing a teaching during this time. It's just one of those times, you know, I'm going to go into the definition of what I was told my Hebrew name means, Yara'al, and it means the respect of Mighty One. And over the past few years, I've noticed that this particular feast, it's one of those feasts that people tend to forget about. And it's one of those feasts that's actually really, really important. Because during this particular season, we understand that the Messiah is coming back. He's coming back during this particular feast or this particular time. You know, when we deal with the Yom Teruah, the blowing of the shofar or the blowing of the trumpet. See, we know that trumpet call is calling people to gather together. You know, we got the, you know, our counterpart says the new year, but we understand it to be the blowing of the trumpets. And that trumpet, as we know, is the ushering in of the king. So during this particular time, the king is coming. You know, and we know that the king is coming for his bride. We as Israel, we're his bride. But sometimes we as Israel, we forget about things. And this is one of those feasts, like I said, you know, everybody prides themselves on Passover and making sure they're right for Passover, making sure that they're right for Shavuot, making sure they're right for Yom Kippurim. But what about Feast of Tabernacles, that feast in which you're supposed to separate from the world and go dwell with the Father in his wilderness and his natural order, separating yourself from all things worldly, from all things me, from all things you. And it's just interesting sitting here alone in the, I'm not really in the dark. I got a little light. But I'm going to do some reading from the scriptures in regards to, I mean, this particular feast. Because, you know, I mean, you get in some scriptures about how Israel didn't even keep this feast for a while. And then all of a sudden they came across it in the scriptures. And then all of a sudden the king said, hey, we need to start keeping this. You know, this is just another time in which, you know, we as Israel must get together. And like I said earlier, you know, we have what comes to my mind is Elijah. I think we talked about Elijah earlier this week or another Moray was teaching about it or brought Elijah up. And Elijah came to my mind in regards to the fact that Elijah was talking to 850 prophets that Yisrael was honoring. I mean, yeah, deities, not prophets. Yeah, 850 prophets that was teaching about the Mighty One, and these people were amongst Israel. It wasn't like they was the nations. It was Yisrael. So even in this day and time, we have so many people that's out there teaching and preaching and claiming to be of Yahweh, claiming to have the blood of Yahushua upon their foreheads and on their lintel, claiming to have his spirit flowing through them. But yet, during this narrative, their deities did not show up, but Elijah's dead. Times we've talked about understanding that the Most High is with us, and I'm talking about specifically Beth Yahweh congregation. And those who are listening, and if you're following along in the scriptures and following along with the teachings, hopefully you'll come to understand that the Most High is definitely opening your ears to hear his truth, just as he's opening my ears to hear his truth. And like one of the things we've been talking about lately is in the word experiencing the teachings, applying the things that you're being told, applying the things that you're studying and coming to understand, applying these things to your life. Because the more you apply these things to your life, the more you begin to see the word manifesting in front of you. The easier it becomes for you to say, you know what? What that Moray was teaching yesterday touched me. What that Moray said yesterday opened my eyes, opened my ears. Oh, it confirmed the thought that I was having, which puts you in the same line of the Most High. See, and that's where we need to be. We need to be in one accord, as the scriptures say, of one mind. And that one mind is that of Yahushua. None of us, as Moray's here, proclaim to be right all the time. But if the Most High is leading and guiding us, then we must be right. Because he's not going to allow us to put out information going to lead you astray. And one of the things that I'm saying, I'm going back to that narrative of Elijah and those 850 false prophets. And even in that narrative, Yahweh Elohim came to Eliyahu and let him know, yo, you're not the only one. I got, I think it's between five and 6,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So one of the things that comes to my mind is that we, as believers, must understand and follow one teacher, one way. We can't be out here with itching ears and listening to things that appeal to us as individuals. See, the word of the Most High is going to prick us. It's going to cleanse us. It's going to get rid of those things that are not of him that dwells within us. And when we make that commitment to him, we have to understand that it's not going to be a pretty thing up front. But in the end, we're going to be smelling like a rose. We're going to be shiny. So shiny that we're going to be clear. And we're gold. Scriptures talks about that gold that's so shiny that it's translucent. That's what we are. We're diamonds in the rough. We're sapphires in the rough. We're rubies in the rough. We're emeralds in the rough. Because as we look at the breastplate that the high priest wore, there were 12 stones in that breastplate. And each and every one of us can represent one of those stones in that breastplate, because we are part of Israel, that royal family, chosen people that the Most High chose to help others to get into this truth. So now what I'm going to do, I'm going to go to a few scriptures. I'm going to read a few scriptures, and then I'm going to enjoy this beautiful night air. First scripture we're going to go to, as always, we're going to go to the scripture that talks about this particular feast. Go to Leviticus chapter 23, verses 33 to 36, and it reads, Yahweh spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel and say, on the 15th day of the seventh month is the feast of Booths. For 7 days to you, Yahweh. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no regular work. 7 days you shall to Yahweh. On the eighth day shall be a holy convocation to you. You shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh. It is a solemn assembly. You shall do no regular work. So this is what was preached, you know, taught in Moses. I mean, taught by Moses, as we say in the first five books. However, it's been mentioned throughout the scriptures. So now we're going to go to Nehemiah chapter 8. We're going to read verses 13 to 18. And it reads, on the second day, the head of the father's household of all the people, the priests and the Levites, were gathered together to Ezra, the scribe, to study the word of the law. They found written in the law, Yahweh had commanded by Moses that the children of Israel shall dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and Jerusalem, saying, go out to the mountain and get olive branches, branches of wild olive, myrtle branches, palm branches, and branches of thick trees, to make temporary shelters, as it is written. So the people went out and made themselves temporary shelters. Everyone on the roof of his house, in their courts, in the courts of Elohim, in the courts of Elohim's house, and in the wide places of the water gate, and in the wide places of Ephraim's gate. All the assembly of those who had come back out of captivity made temporary shelters and lived in the temporary shelters. The days of since the days of Joshua, son of Nun, to that day, the children of Israel had not done so. There was very great gladness also day by day, from the first day to the last day. He read in this book of the law of God, Elohim. They kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according to the ordinances. So I'm going to stop here for a minute. See, because keeping this feast, you know, as it said in this narrative, they wasn't keeping it. Doing, you know, because as we know, this narrative came when Israel came out of the wilderness. So this was one of the feasts that they kept when they came out of the wilderness to show the Most High. What was it? To show that they was keeping his law, statutes, and judgments. But as we see, they wasn't doing it. Why? Because this generation before they got out, left of Egypt, wasn't doing it. Even though it was, you know, given to them, but it was something that they were supposed to do when they got into the promised land. So now we're going to go to Zechariah chapter 14, verses 16 to 19. And it reads, it would happen that everyone who is left of all the nations that came against Jerusalem will go up from year to year to worship the king, Yahweh of armies, and to keep the feast of Booths. It will be that whoever of all the families of the earth does not go up to Jerusalem to worship the king, Yahweh of armies, on them there will be no rain. If the families of Egypt does not go up, and does not come, neither will there be rain on them. This will be the plague with which Yahweh will strike the nations that do not go up and keep the Feast of Booths. This will be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of the nations that do not go up and keep the Feast of Booths. So reading this, what do we learn from it? Because this is talking about Egypt coming up and doing the Feast of Booths. And as we know, the Feast of Egypt is symbolic of the world. So the Most High is letting us know that even the world has to keep the Feast of Booths. How are they going to actually learn about it? They learn about it from true Israel, keeping the Feast of Booths, sharing that wisdom with those in whom they come across, because that's what we do when we practice and do the things of the Father and do the things of the Word. Like, I'm going to give you an example that happened with me in regards to, I'm going to say, the controversy in regards to this year's feast. I had to humble myself and go to my job because I worked for the man. I worked for the world system. Not working for myself. I'm not working for the Most High. I worked for the man. And I had to humble myself and go down to my place of employment on my day off. And can I be off? Not one day, not 2 days, but 4 days, I had to go humble myself. Now, when you work for the man, you're working for the man at least 5 days a week. So I'm asking the man to give me 4 days off. And the interesting thing is I already put in for days off. Days that I didn't ask to be off is in the middle of days that I didn't already ask for. But that was a learning thing for me, because humility is always a learning point. Always a learning point. And we have to humble ourselves before the Most High on a regular basis. But sometimes we get so high and mighty within ourselves that we feel as though we don't have to humble ourselves. But the Father knows how to humble us. He knows what to do to teach you a lesson, to bring you to another reality, to bring you to another understanding. And not all understandings are negative, because it's all good for us when we walk in the ways of the Most High, when we have Yahushua as our Lord and Savior and Redeemer. But I say all this to mean, friends and listening audience, this feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, is just as important as all the rest of the times in which the Father say come together. It's just as important. As we read in it, you're not supposed to do any work. Not supposed to do any work during this particular feast when it comes in. So now we're going to go to John. Chapter 7, verse 1-24. Some of you might be familiar with it, but when I first read this, I was not familiar with it, and I was thankful the Father opened my eyes to it. And it reads, 7, verse 1. After these things, Yahushua was walking in Galilee, for he would not walk in Judah, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Feast of the Jews, the Feast of Booths, was at hand. 3 brothers therefore said to him, depart from here and go to Judea, that your disciples also may see your works, which you do. For no one, while he seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, reveal yourself to the world. For even his brothers did not believe in him. Yahushua therefore said to them, my time has not yet come, but your time is already always ready. The world can't hate you, but it hates me, because I testify about it that its works are evil to the feast. I am not yet going up to this feast, because my time is not yet fulfilled. Having said these things to them, he stayed in Galilee. But when his brothers had gone up to the feast, then he also went up, not publicly, but as it were in secret. The Jews therefore sought him, and there was much murmuring among the multitude concerning him. Some said, he is a good man. Others said, not so. But he led the multitudes astray. Yet no one spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews. But when it was now the middle of the feast, Yahushua went up into the temple and taught. The Jews therefore marveled, saying, man, no letters, having never been educated. Yahushua therefore answered them, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone desires to do his will, he will know about the teaching, whether it is from Elohim or if I am speaking from myself. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law? And yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me? The multitude answered, you have a demon. Who seeks to kill you? Yahushua answered them, I did one work, and you all marveled because of it. Moses has given you circumcision. Not that it is of Moses, but of the Father. You circumcise the boy. If a boy receives circumcision on the Sabbath, that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because I made a man complete, healthy on the Sabbath? Do not judge according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Father led me here to this because, you know, when I was coming to do this, you know, I knew I was going to be doing a teaching in the midst of the feast, and I wanted to do something different. And I was like, and I asked this question to myself, did Yahushua keep the Feast of Tabernacles? And that's where he led me. He led me to John 7, chapter 1, verses 1 to 24, which shows that Yahushua kept this feast also. Moses in the law, statutes, and judgments, and gave it to us as one of those holy convocations. Yahushua upheld it. So what makes me believe that I'm not supposed to uphold it also? What makes me believe that I can justify not keeping this particular feast? What justifies me saying that I'm not going to meet as a holy convocation. Because the scriptures say this is what we're supposed to do. Supposed to do. And we understand, those who've been walking this way, that the night begins the day. So we can't be struggling and running around all day long trying to get ourselves prepared for a time in which we're not supposed to be doing something. We're supposed to be sitting back, chilling, and enjoying the beauty and the wonders of the Most High. Come together as my family and listen what I have to say through my representatives. So family, this was a short one because I'm out here and sitting in my temporary dwelling by myself, plating on what I'm going to eat. I think I got some trail mix, something, some water. But I just ask you all, look into this piece a little more. Look at this piece as just as important as the rest of them. You know, because this feast is also important. Because this is the feast that's going to lead us. This is, I tend to say this feast is the last sifting point. The last weeding out that the Father's going to do. That he sent Yahushua down here to do. Just like this last one. Sift them. See if they be fleas. See if they be for us. Or do they want to stay in the world? But as we read in one scripture or one part of the narrative, even the world has to come up and acknowledge this one. Because I think I didn't even read that one, but it talks about how, you know, the wedding feast and how Israel was invited and Israel was so busy doing whatever. That the bridegroom said, hey, look, you know, go out there and talk to anybody. Tell everybody about this thing. And whomever want to come, tell them they can come. You know, feast is important. Because as we know and learned over the years, that eighth day, that holy convocation on that eighth day, that symbolizes that the millennium, when everything is over with. When you're standing in that line and they get ready to tell you, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have made it. Many years, our former rabbi used to say, to the swift, but it's to the one who finishes the race. You know, I think a couple of weeks ago, or maybe last week, he was talking about, or maybe one of the classes, talking about how Yahushua is that mark. Yeah, I think it was one of the classes. Like, Yahushua is that mark. And it was defining sin as missing the mark. So when we sin and don't do what we're supposed to do, we're missing the mark. We're missing the mark. And he gives us a new day, a new opportunity every time he resurrects us and allow us to come out that slumber, giving us an opportunity to get it right. Get it right. So he can say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And as we also teach and we're learning, that every lesson that the Mores teach, or whenever you're speaking with someone in regards to this word, as it says, it's like a double-edged sword. It cuts you too. It's something that I also must learn in regards to keeping the Feast of Tabernacles and the importance of this feast. Shalom, shalom. Shalom. I'm out here in the bushes, and as you've seen, I didn't do the reading. I should have, you know, I didn't read that thing so much. I should have committed it to memory. but I haven't committed it to memory. But I know this thing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And the Father loves us all. The Father loves you. The Father loves me. And the Father loves. He sent his Son, Yahushua, to this earth to lay his life down so that we can have an opportunity to make it into his kingdom. Hallelujah. Father, 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 as we come before thee on this holy day, on this Sabbath day, we thank you for your tender mercies and your loving kindness. We thank you for the commitment that you have made to us through thy Son, Yahushua. We thank you, Father, for giving us another opportunity to get it right. We thank you for our friends and families. And we thank you for life lessons that you've given us. May we take the life lessons, compare them with your word, apply them to our life, and be better servants for thee, O Father. May we continue to look to Yahushua as our guide. May we continue to look to your word for help. May we continue to look to one another to assist us in this journey. For we cannot do this alone. We cannot do it without Yahushua. So, Father, I ask thee, in the name of Yahushua, that you continue to bless all those that are listening, all those who are keeping this feast, and all those who know somebody that's keeping this feast. Open their minds, open their ears, open their eyes to see the wonders and joy of your word, O Father, of your Son, Yahushua, our Lord, our Savior, and Redeemer of the whole world. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And you all have a peaceful slumber. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom. And you all have a peaceful slumber.
Give you less. You My blood.